Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here, especially those of you that are visiting with us. We're grateful that you have come our way and are chosen to worship with us today. The song that was led a little while ago, asking if you're in the Glory Land way, what a beautiful song. I think that those that gather together on the Lord's Day gather together for a reason, knowing that if we are walking in that way that the Lord would have us to walk, that we can confidently say that I'm in the Glory Land way. I pray that that's what you all are today, and that you are in that way that leads you to heaven above. But I also realize that in everyday life, this being the first Sunday of the month, I'm going to continue the theme that I've developed for those first Sunday on everyday life. There are problems that we face. And one of those is the problem of worry. Have you gone a month without thinking about problems in your life? Have you gone 2 months or a year without worrying about anything at all? Can you go a day without worrying about anything? You know, think about that for just a moment. We're not talking about the type of clinical anxiety that requires you to seek out help from a doctor. We're talking about the types of things, though, that can consume your life, that can take up your time and keep you from moving forward. Do you have problems with that type of anxiety? Because if you do, then what we've just read to you in Matthew chapter 6 should be a text that you can look at and you can understand and you can actually find comfort in and understand that God cares. And that if you are worrying, that you need to understand that it's not going to add anything to your life. And so as the last verse said, don't worry about tomorrow because today has its own problems. Think about today. Because yes, if you consider it, worry, fretfulness, anxiety, it can become overwhelming. It can be challenging to us. And we have to understand, too, that it's something that sometimes we have to fight it. It's a battle that's going on, that's waging within each one of us. And maybe you've heard someone, or you've been called at one time, a worry wart. Now, Cindy and I go back and forth all the time, and we talk about these things, and I'll say it about her, and she doesn't say it about me ever. But you know, we worry about children. We worry about all types of things, don't we? But here's the thing. We can combat this on a daily basis with faith. Faith in our God. We can live life and be harassed by our thoughts, thinking about impending doom. You know, the next slide that's going to come up here in just a minute, going to have some things popping up there that you might be thinking about even today. Some things that might concern you. But you think about it. Or our lives can be filled with contentment, filled with the beauty of God living in our lives and ours living in His, with Him. Or we can be consumed by such things as the problems of terrorism around the world. Maybe you're worried about North Korea or Iran and the nuclear conflict, you know, the nuclear developments that are going on right there. Or maybe it's just politics in general. I tell you what, I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of turning on social media and hearing everybody ranting and raving about things and many times not even sounding like Christians when they're talking about these things, because there's no compassion and no love in the tone sometimes. And maybe that's just my perspective. I don't know. Maybe you're worried about school or the racism or the bullying that's going on in our country today. Or maybe you're worried about your work. Maybe you're worried about your job. You know, oh, the boss called me into the office the other day. Or maybe you're worried about money, finances. That's one of the biggest issues that people have today. Worried about where the next meal is coming from. How am I going to make this house payment? How am I going to pay my bills? Friends, family, physical health, mental health, spiritual health. All types of things. And every one of those, if all we do is concentrate on those and that's all we think about, it becomes overwhelming, doesn't it? As children of God, there's more to life than worry. As children of God, we need to realize that we are creatures of habit, and worry can be like any bad habit. It can become so common in our lives that we can become worried that we don't have anything to worry about. I want to suggest that sometimes it is a matter of perspective. When I think about that, it depends on my outlook on life in general. Am I always negative? Or am I positive? Am I the glass half full or am I the cup overflowing type of individual? What type of individual am I? And understand this, that happiness really is, it's an inside job. It's right here between the ears sometimes. It's a choice that we make. And I think that when Jesus is speaking there in the Sermon on the Mount and in those verses, he's trying to get the kingdom citizen, those who would be entering into the kingdom, those serving in this new future kingdom, to understand that there's more to life than these things, more to life than worrying about paying the bills. And I'm not saying don't be concerned about it, but don't be consumed by it. It makes it a matter of the heart then, doesn't it? It makes it a matter of whether or not we are going to trust God in all of these things. The habit of fretting had taken hold of one man that he often worried because he had forgotten what he was supposed to worry about. And see, God does not want His children to worry. I think when we hear the words, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, that's something that we need to understand. That how can we overcome feelings of anxiety when we are instructed to pray about it? Well, that puts the trust. It's understanding that what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's where it begins. We can overcome this type of anxiety, this type of worry, that actually when Jesus talks about it, doesn't add anything to our lives, but it can take away from our lives. Well, I want to suggest a few things to us this morning that are going to help us understand this, help us overcome this. Overcoming worry then becomes a thought process for us. And I believe that it is reasonable for us to use our feelings of anxiety by adjusting our attitude by thinking on things that are the opposite. Thinking better thoughts. You know, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, after he makes that statement there of making your requests be made known to God, he talks about that which will guard your heart. That's the peace of God. And then in the following verses, he says, meditate on these things. When you look, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 real quick. I want to, instead of me quoting it or trying to quote it and butcher it, let's just read it word for word in these verses. Beginning at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And notice what it doesn't say in that verse. It doesn't say the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts through yourself. It tells you where that protection comes from, through the Son of God. And then he starts in the very next verse, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. How easy is it for us to get wrapped up in the news of the day and hear that North Korea has tested another nuclear missile out in the Pacific, or to hear that Iran has got a missile that they say now can reach Israel or even further? How important is it to understand that there are problems in a nation of people who are not perfect people that need to be taken care of and even addressed. But at the same time, we do not need to be so consumed by them that they exacerbate the problem instead of become a solution to the problem. Yeah, it'd be really easy to be overcome by those things. But what if we turn our thoughts to the good things? We'll talk about that a little bit more. But verse 9 says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." All it takes really to start changing the hearts of individuals is getting them to open this book. To begin by looking at this and intently meditating upon the things that are in here. Yes, there are some negative things in here, but there's a lot of positive, because what's positive about this book is it talks about the salvation of our souls. And when you're in that glory land way, like we sang a little while ago, yeah, there are going to be some things that you're going to be concerned about, that you might even worry about a little bit, but you're not going to allow them to consume you. And the reason for that is you're going to allow your faith to repel that worry. You think about that. Faith will do just that. It can overcome that. But little faith, what it does is it encourages anxiety. Have you ever caught yourself believing your doubts and doubting your beliefs? Think about that for just a moment. Have you ever caught yourself believing your doubts and doubting your beliefs? Have you questioned yourself? Have you answered, if you've answered that with a yes, you probably are a worrier. Have you doubted your faith recently? Have you doubted your trust in God? I want you to think about that for just a minute. If our faith falters, then what do? We are opening the door for this type of worry, this type of anxiety. Now, I want you to think about this. I got two scriptures up here on the screen right now. I want you to think about Peter for just a moment in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus is out walking on the water toward their boat. Peter sees him and he steps out of the boat. One of the things that we mention when we talk about Peter sometimes is how he does things by impulse and how he does things that just sometimes don't make sense. But here he's acting in faith. He sees his master, his teacher, the Son of God, walking on water toward him. And yes, the sea is at a tempest and it's a storm about him. But he trusts at first, doesn't he? And then he looks around and he sees the waves. And that trust begins to wane a little bit. And what does he do? Here, you know, it doesn't have to be a literal sea. It can just be the things in life that consume us. He begins to sink. Because he took his eyes off the Lord. You think about that for a minute. This happened to Peter on this particular occasion. And now what's going to happen in verse 31 is it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him," what? "Peter, you did a great job. I'm proud of you." No. He didn't say that. He said, "Oh, you of little faith." What does that imply? He said, "Peter, if you'd have just kept looking at me, if you'd have just trusted in me, you wouldn't have sunk." And sometimes that's what happens in our lives. We become so consumed with things that we forget about our faith. We forget about who we should trust. We forget that God is in control. And what happens? We start sinking into the pit of despair. We start sinking back into the world. And we forget that we can overcome that with our faith. And I think about Matthew chapter 6. And I think about what's stated right there and the fact that, you know, the Lord says, "Think about the birds of the air. Who cares for them? God does. Think about the lilies of the field." You know, they just sit there and look pretty, don't they? And then all of a sudden you think about this. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He said, but you know, if God takes care and clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you what? Of little faith. There's that phrase again. Sometimes that worry, sometimes that anxiety is just that. It is that little faith. And when that faith wanes like that, that's when the doors open to worry. Here's the key. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, keep your focus on the one who's in control. Keep your focus on God, on the Lord, His Son, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's not going to miraculously take place. I'm not going to say that, but let's put it this way. We need to erase the doubt. This was overheard in an orchard one day. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. That poem was written about what you just read here in Matthew chapter 6. Think about that for just a moment. Consider it, that what takes place in individuals' lives is maybe we don't trust God the way that we should. Just think about this in this way. Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. When in fact we do. We do have a heavenly Father that cares for us, loves us. I know that He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. I know that He has provided us a place in which we can live and live peacefully if only we desire to do that. But here's the thing. Do we trust God? Do we trust Him enough? Do we have little faith, no faith, or great faith? Because faith allows us to trust in the Lord. And trusting in the Lord can lift the spirits of men. Think about this. Jeremiah chapter 17, the prophet there is going to the nation of Judah. He's telling them about impending doom. He's letting them know that there is captivity in their future, but there will also be those who are going to remain faithful. But listen to these words. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. And just consider for just a moment the one who trusts in the Lord in this way. Using it, the tree as the example right here that is planted by the river, planted by waters, and spread out its roots. And consider that what is taking place right there is because of what's provided. There's also that stability. The root system provides that stability for the tree, keeps it in the ground. Our faith should be our root system. Our faith should be such that it is because we have built our faith on a solid foundation. But as it grows, our stability grows. To overcome anxiety, our trust in the Lord increases. And I look at those things and think about my own life and remember 30 years ago, I was in a dark place. I was unemployed. I had a 2-year-old son and a wife and a house. Oh, it was horrible. I had friends who would come up and put their arms around me on Sundays and encourage me, and some of them didn't even know where I was. I will say this. I was a human being like everybody else. And there were times that I questioned my faith. There were times that I questioned my trust in God. But you know what pulled me through? Besides my wife, it was other people who trusted in God for me and showed me what true trust was, that brought me to a place where I could be up here today and say with full confidence that God is in control. But you have to let Him be in control. I can let you know that on occasion we will be brought face to face with troubling experiences, and we can understand, but we can trust God because He has never betrayed us in any way. And I think about the proverb writer when he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And here's where I believe that people go astray. Not trusting in the wisdom of God and trusting in their own wisdom. Trusting the fact that, I know the ways of the world. I know how to do things. Nobody can tell me what to do better than I can. Well, we're trusting in the wrong person when we think that way. And I know that leaning on the understanding of the Lord means that I have to trust Him. Have to understand that His wisdom comes from above, and it is good. It is powerful. And when I read the wisdom of the writers, the inspired writers of the Old Testament and New Testament, I see that there is power from above that can influence my life, your life, for good. And not only trusting in the Lord, but then with that trust, I have to start thinking about myself in a better light, in a better frame of mind as well. You know, self-esteem is a buzzword, I guess, so to speak, that has been thrown out there for years now. But I want to talk to you about trust real quick, not just simply trusting in yourself. Think about who you trust. Think about why you trust them. There is a bridge between Tampa, Florida and Sarasota. My wife's eyes get about this big when we start talking about it, let alone think about driving across it. It goes across water. It goes, 100 feet, 200 feet in the air, and it arches up and then back downhill. Would you drive across it? If you want to go to Sarasota, you do. And what you do is you end up trusting in the person that designed it, the person that built it. And what you need to understand that if you trust the person that designed and created you, He wants you to think more highly of yourself sometimes than you actually do. And it is scriptural for us to say, "I can." It's not just being the little engine that could. "I think I can. I think I can." It's the idea. Yes, it's scriptural to understand that I can say I can if I give the credit where the credit is due. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, I don't think He's talking about football. I don't think He's talking about basketball games or sports of any type. But when it comes to my spiritual life, when it comes to the survival of my soul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can change my outlook to an uplook. I can change my fretting and worrying into rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I can change my frame of mind and improve the way I even look at myself and understand in all of that thing that it takes much strength to face each day. Physical strength, moral strength, spiritual strength. And every one of those have to be exercised in order to become stronger. It becomes a growing quality in our life. Because I trust in the Lord, I can be a better person. Because I trust in the Lord, I am a better person. Because I trust in the Lord, I will continue to grow stronger every day. All that is expected of us is to do the best we can. Because we're going to remain imperfect. And what I mean by doing the best we can is living according to God's will, not the way of the world. Your employer expects your best. Students, your teachers expect your best out of you. If you play sports, your coaches expect your best. And when we have done that, they deem you to be successful. I believe God does not accept mediocrity from His children. He expects the very best from us. He expects our best when it comes to worshiping Him. He expects the best from our daily living. But He provides the strength. He provides the aid when necessary. And our success is dependent upon Him. Do we trust Him to not worry about what will happen tomorrow? Do we trust Him to not worry about the politics, not worry about what's going on or being stated on Twitter or Facebook, who we might upset today? Because if we should be worried more about, am I pleasing to God? Today has enough problems of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. But it does require some daily preparation on our part also. Think about that for just a moment. Daily preparation can actually safeguard against the problems of worry. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, Jesus is talking to His disciples and others, and He says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" That's planning. That's taking the time to sit down and mete out what's necessary to complete the project. Think about it in terms, spiritual terms now, of your life as a child of God. Did you begin something that you intended to finish? Do you have what it takes to make it through the end, to be faithful to the very end so that you can receive that crown of life? Or is something going to happen along the way that's going to cause you to throw up your hands and say, "I didn't know it was going to be this difficult. I didn't know it was going to cost me this much." This man would, Jesus would go on to say, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Consider for just a moment that the world is already mocking you because you're a child of God. What's going to happen if for some reason you exit that narrow road that leads to eternal life and are no longer in that glory land way, and you decide to walk down that broad road that leads to destruction? What are they going to say? "I knew you couldn't do it." Why? Because maybe you've let worry influence your life so much that you've taken your focus and trust away from God. There's nothing wrong with this type of planning. But understand, careful planning for your day can alleviate the problems of worry. Careful planning for your day can eliminate the distractions of the world. Example. You wake up in the morning. You might have a daily routine. You get up, maybe you eat breakfast first, and then you go get ready for work. Or maybe you start preparing for work and then you eat breakfast afterward. But what do you do after that? Get in the car and just drive to work? Have you prayed? Have you spent time in God's Word, meditating upon it? Have you done something that's going to take the distractions away? When you get to work, you have to be single-minded at least on your job, don't you? Because if you get distracted, what happens? You don't complete your task at hand. Here's the thing. The same thing is true spiritually of us all. That if we begin a life as a child of God, we should be anticipating the very end and making plans on a daily basis to live for God. Have Him in our lives. Is He abiding in your life? And you in His? Are you in the light as He is in the light? Do you dwell where He dwells? Do you want to dwell eternally where He dwells? Make a plan and work the plan daily and eliminate the distractions. And then cast your burdens on the Lord. Life has too many complications. It has too many problems that seem to defy solution in time. How many times have you heard someone say, you can only control the things that you can control and you can't worry about the other stuff? How many times have you heard somebody say, don't sweat the small stuff? How many times have you heard somebody say, well, you're majoring in minors? You can go on and on and on. But we can be pressed under them unless we shift the burden where? To the Lord. Sister in Christ in Pampa, Texas, talking about these things, once came up to me and said, it's just let go and let God. Well, in essence, that's right. Cast your burdens on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Just like Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, cast your cares on Him. Oh, that's easy. Sometimes it's easier said than done. I understand that. But it boils back down to our faith. And when I think about casting my care on the Lord, then if I've done that, then I need to count my blessings. Think about that for just a minute, because casting your burdens on the Lord relieves that burden of anxiety and opens up the opportunity to count the blessings. Instead of looking at the negative, we start looking on the brighter side of life. We sing the song, Count Your Blessings. And we should, because blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Do we say those words? Do we believe those words? From time to time, we may feel burdened with too many cares of the world, but we are not nearly as loaded down with cares as we are blessings. There is a story, an example that is given about the camel who is a beast of burden, who is laden with all this load. But do you know that that camel every night kneels down so that his master can relieve him of that burden? And that burden is taken off of him, because to bear the load day and night would soon break down that animal and he'd be useless. Maybe at night, before you go to sleep, give all those burdens to the Lord so that you can have a peaceful night. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, it requires us to live one day at a time. Just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What we cannot do is we cannot live in the past. We cannot live in the future. We can only live in the present. And we have to be concerned about what's taking place today. Get them to turn this one up and we'll just keep going. I actually heard it go out that time. I didn't worry about the battery today. Today has enough of its own problems without having to pile on what you're worried about for tomorrow. You know, then what that does is changes where we look. Because what we need to start doing is searching for the good. The good in the world. And shield yourself from the darts of worry. An ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips, and it's on his lips like a burning fire. Now, let me tell you, it's all perspective sometimes. What you look at or what you're searching for. You think about that. Changing our perspective can change that cloudy day into a beautiful day of blessing. If we complain about evil in others, maybe there's something amiss in our lives. Not that you should never complain about those things. But beware, just like Jesus said in Matthew 7, make sure there's not a beam in your eye when you're complaining about the others. We may need to shift our focus to see good in other people. We might, always look for the best in individuals instead of looking at the worst. Always try to draw out what is good in that person. Changing our perspective then can change relationships. Changing our perspective changes that trust in God. So it's training our eyes what to look for. You know, we can look for the bad, and believe me, we're going to find it. Looking for the good may be a little bit more difficult. It might require a little bit deeper search. But it's there. Is there good in the country that we live in? You look at the news sometimes, you don't think so. But I know there is. I know there are faithful people, faithful to God, that are still trying to do that which is right. I know that there are good in even some of the people that you might think are the most despicable people in the world. And the reason I say that is because Jesus Christ died for them just as much as He died for you and me. And the opportunity is there for them, just like it is for you and me, to be His children, to be His disciples, to be part of His kingdom. And we should not worry so that it consumes us. We should not be worry warts. We should not put on a long face and constantly expect the worst to happen. You know, we need to be stop being that individual that finds a gray cloud in their silver lining and start looking for the silver lining in the cloud. We need to be the individual that wears a smile and tries to anticipate the best for yourself. And as a child of God, if you are in the glory land way, there's no greater reason to smile than that. Because you know the end of the story. You know how things end in favor of those who are God's children eternally in heaven with the Father and with the Son. So remember the saying, if you smile, and the world will smile back at you. Change your daily worry into a better outlook, uplook in life. Don't worry. Be happy. But be happy in the Lord. That's where you need your happiness. True happiness should be. Keep your face with sunshine lit. Laugh a little bit. Gloomy shadows oft will lift if you have the wit and grit just to laugh a little bit. Forget about the worries and don't let them consume you. Let me just stay up here and offer the invitation up here instead of coming down. Go ahead and take out your songbooks. If you're not in the glory land way, If you're not a child of God, that opportunity is yours this morning. We stand ready to assist you in your soul salvation. You don't have to worry near as much when you trust God. Trust God to do what He says He will do. He says He will save you from your sins. He did that by demonstrating the love that He has for all mankind, by sending His Son into this world to die for you, for us, for everyone. He shed blood. He was buried, He was raised, and He now sits at the right hand of God, being exalted to His eternal throne. One day He's coming. And if you're in the glory land way, He'll say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if you've never obeyed the gospel, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Act in that faith. Repent of your sins, confess Him before men, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And live faithfully till the day you die on that glory land way. And you will live eternally with Him. Can we help you this morning? Won't you let it be known how we can help you with your soul salvation by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.